In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, in the year 609, in Rome, Pope Boniface had a lot of problems that were facing him in that city, and especially the people of Rome. In fact, in one of the older areas of Rome, the residents there were in great difficulty because they were located next to an old Roman temple. You may have heard of it. It's called the Pantheon. And the people of that area were experiencing a lot of difficulties in that time. They're, 400 years before this, so in the 200s, is when the Emperor Hadrian built this great Pantheon. Because what it was supposed to do was supposed to give honor and do worship in the pagan religions that they had to all the gods who were there. All the gods, especially the gods who were favored by the emperor's family, the royal family. That's why it's called a pantheon, meaning all the saints. And so they were given their due honor and worship there. But when Rome became Christianized, the pantheon actually fell into disuse and was completely abandoned. Because why would they worship false gods when they could worship the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Only one God. And so this place fell into great disrepair, even though it's great, beautiful architectural marvel of its age. But the residents around there, like I was talking before, saw that there were great difficulties that they were experiencing. Weird things were going on in this strange temple, in the temple area. What they said, they complained and they said, we've started to have all these sort of creepy voices that we hear going and we don't know where they're coming from. They said that the bricks were beginning to fall on people, is that they were being thrown at them, launched at them in some sort of way. They complained about cold, icy breezes that would go by them that had no explanation for why they could be, especially when it was warm outside. Why do we have these icy breezes coming by? Many, many worse things than the things that I've described to you began to happen, and it rose to a pitch where they were wondering, why is this going on? So they appealed to the Pope, because the Pope was kind of like the king, the city ruler, the mayor. He was the great public figure who was holding the whole of the city of Rome and the Papal States together. And so they didn't know what to do. Well, really what was going on was that it was haunted by evil demons, those evil gods who desired the worship of men, but because of the advent of Christianity, had been abandoned. So what the Pope did, he said, well, we can't just destroy this great thing. It's really too massive a project. There's no way we could destroy it without causing even more problems. So he came up with a creative solution. What he did, instead of destroying and razing the whole building down, he decided what he was going to do was Boniface said, I would make this place that used to house all the gods, the Pantheon, and to turn it into a place where the one true God is worshipped, turning this ancient pagan temple and consecrating it, exorcising the spirits who were in there, making it a Christian church, as it is to this very day. And you know what happened after he did that? All these supernatural occurrences immediately came to a cessation. The people of the entire community began to live in peace and to not have these strange occurrences happening. They began to worship in this place, the true God, where all the false gods were previously worshipped. So great was their rejoicing that every year on the anniversary of that day, they would come back to that place in the Pantheon and celebrate a great feast day because the demons were kicked out and God was truly worshipped. This was a great and amazing experience. So great was it that during the time of one of the later Pope Gregory, decided we were going to extend this feast to the entire church. And that's why we celebrate the Day of All the Saints today, in honor of that, in honor of what was going on and making it an everlasting reminder that the powers of the evil one are no match for the powers of Christ. That when God steps in, when Christ steps in, all the other evil spirits must flee when only one God is worshipped. So that's what we arrive at today, All Saints Day. But sometimes in our lives, we don't feel like that, right? We don't feel like our God is more powerful than all the things that are going around us because we get caught up in the various struggles that we have. What does St. Job tell us in chapter 7, verse 1? He says to us that all life on earth is hard. Really what he says is the life that we live is a continuous struggle. Continuous warfare is the word that he uses. And so every day what we do is we encounter obstacles. Obstacles within our daily world to see real justice occurring, to seeing real peace permeating our land, to see people who can actually attain real and true happiness at last. Every day we see this as assault, and even within our own lives we experience it, don't we? We experience within our lives, we have these struggles because of our own human fallen nature that tend towards selfishness and sin. We have that interior struggle, not just the exterior struggle that we have. Reminds us what that second reading says. The second reading, which tells us we forget about what it says about us, where it says in 1 John, "Behold what manner the love of love the Father has given unto us, that we are called the sons of God. Yet so we are." We forget that, and we move toward the direction of sin. Because all of us this day, we have that struggle against the three enemies of the soul. Quick catechism question. Do you remember what the three enemies of the soul are? They're attacking you every day. Do you know who they are? You got the flesh. Who else? The world. And who else? That's the flesh, la carne. El mundo, the world. Y el diablo, la Satanás. Huh? Okay, that's what it is. The devil, the flesh, the world, and the devil. These are the three enemies of the soul, and if you don't know who they are, maybe that's why they're winning. You got to identify the enemy before you're able to destroy the enemy. That's a very, very important lesson for all of our lives. We got to know who the enemies are. And we're fighting against these ones each and every day, right? We have the world, which is attacking us from the outside. We have the devil, who is also attacking us and his demons, his minions, but also that interior struggle of sin within our lives, the flesh. All of us are fighting against these things, and they remind us why the church on earth is called what she is. You know, the church here on earth is called the church militant, because we are a militia. We are a militia of Christ. We are Christ's soldiers who are struggling each and every day toward realizing the triumph of Jesus Christ upon the cross in our own personal way, when he destroyed sin, death, Satan. But we need to experience that within our own lives. That's why the Second Vatican Council recognized that. It said to us in Gaudium et Spes, number 37, it says, "For a monumental struggle against the powers of darkness pervades the whole of the human history, the whole of the history of man. The battle began from the very beginning of the world and will continue until the last day, just as the Lord taught us." It continues saying, "Caught in this conflict, man is obliged to wrestle constantly if he is to cling to what is good. He can't achieve his own integrity without great efforts and without the help of God's own grace." This is Gaudium et Spes number 3, when the church is talking about the man's struggle within the world. But none of this is new to us, right? We all know these things. These are things that we're well familiar with, and we've accepted the challenge of Christ, which is why we're here today, even on a weekday, coming to Mass. So we got to ask ourselves, though, why is it that we get tired of fighting? Why is it that we give into these sins? We get worn out, don't we? I was just talking to a priest friend even last night, about how tired and weary I am sometimes, how I just want to give up. But why don't we? Well, we shouldn't, because that's why we have the feast day today, the day of all the saints, because what that should do is rekindle our hope that we too can be just like those who have gone before. Today is a day where we actually take a break from all the fighting that we have to do in our daily grind. And what we do is we actually lift our eyes to heaven, not focusing on what's going on horribly here on the earth, but looking to heaven where everything is working out just fine. We lift our eyes to heaven. And we could look at, just as it says in that first reading that we had from the book of Revelation, that about the great multitude which no one can count, which are gathered around the King who is Christ, and enjoying the rewards of their earthly labors, celebrating in the victory of Christ. That's what our first reading talks to us about. And these ones are none other than the saints in heaven. We talk about them as the church triumphant. We're the church militant who is struggling. They are the church which is triumphant, who has already achieved the goal of their faith, our faith, which is our hope to be in heaven forever. Now, the saints are people who are just like us, though. They're just like us in every way, and they're gathered from every age, from every walk of life, from every people and nation, who have, as it said within that same reading, who have survived the great distress. You know, each and every Christian life, no matter what age you live in, is full of great distress. We experience that in our lives because of sin, the struggle with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Each time we have distress. But when we think about our victorious brothers and sisters in Christ who are reigning on high with Christ, our hearts should actually be inspired to greatness, and our resolve should actually be strengthened to follow in their holy examples. But when we look at the lives of the saints, you see, it's kind of tough to emulate, right? Kind of tough to do with that. Does anybody have any of their favorite saints? What's your favorite saint? Bianca? Maria Goretti. That's a good one. Because Maria Goretti had a really tough life. Maria Goretti was one who gave her life so that a man who was trying to rape her wouldn't fall into mortal sin. So what she did, she got stabbed by him 14 times and yet forgave him even from her deathbed, not wanting any ill to pass him in this life or in the life which is to come. What about you, Pauline? Do you have a favorite saint? Paul, do you have a favorite saint?
I like them all.
You like them all. Does anybody else have a favorite saint? Saint Anthony, who was a great man, who actually was living a religious life, but then what happened is that he left that religious life, which actually had a lot of comfort and luxury for him as an Augustinian brother, went off to join a roving band of mendicants, people who were fanatics about Christ. He left comfort to join them where he would be nothing in the middle of backwards Italy. That's a tough thing for us to do. What about any others? The father of our Lord, Saint Joseph, whom I love with my whole life. He had a hard life, didn't he? He had to trust that God worked through his wife giving her the seed, his very seed. He had to trust that God was taking care of this. He had to recognize each and every day when he was looking upon his son, he was looking on the face of God, wondering, how could I take care of God? A hard life. How do I make decisions for God to bring up God in the right way? Many, many of these saints, we can talk about Saint Francis, who had many difficulties in his life and even struggled with lust. That's why he threw himself on a rose bush one time in order to flee that. Same thing that Saint Benedict did upon a thorn bush. These men and women throughout the ages have struggled. It makes us think, how can I emulate them, right? I'm just a weak person. How am I ever going to be a saint? Father said that only saints get into heaven. How can I do that? It really makes us feel small when we look at the great saints. But you know what? Today isn't about that. Today isn't just about looking at the great saints and saying, I can't do this. How am I ever supposed to make it like that? Let me give you a simple definition of what a saint is. It's actually a really simple concept, a really simple thing. All that a saint is, all that a saint ever is somebody who realizes that they are completely and unabashedly loved by God. That's it. Somebody who recognizes how deeply God loves him, how Christ gave himself for them. And their only response was, how can I love him like he loves me? That's it. That's the simplicity of the saints. I'm loved. How do I return that love? That's it. And that's all that you... That's really all that you and I are called to. You know, you might not be able to win the battle against lust like St. Francis did. You may not be able to abandon all your comforts like St. Anthony did. You may not be able to forgive somebody who tries to hurt you, not even as bad as St. Maria Goretti was hurt. But even those small slights that people do when they give you wry looks across the cafeteria or when they seem to scoff at you as you come up. But you know what? You can find little ways in order to be able to love God. And if you place your trust in God, He'll show you the rest. When Mother Teresa was talking to my spiritual director, St. Mother Teresa, she was talking to my spiritual director, who was named Anthony as well. He went up to her and he said, "Mother, I want to be a saint. How do I be a saint?" You know what she said to him? She said, "Don't worry, young Anthony. The desire is enough. Our Lord will take care of the rest." Now, Pope Benedict had something to say about that. Pope Benedict had this to say, and I'll close with that, about what it means to really be a saint. He said in an address to a bunch of young people in Madrid, he said, "Some of you," he said, "perhaps some of you have never thought about this before. Perhaps some of you think that being a saint is not for you, but let me explain to you what I mean. When I invite you all to become saints, I'm really asking you not to be content with second best. Happiness is something that we all want, but one of the great tragedies of the world is that so many people never actually find it, because they look for it in the wrong places. And the key to it is very simple. True happiness is to be found in God. We need to have the courage to place our deepest hopes in God alone, not in money, not in a career, not in worldly success, not in our own relationships with others, but only in God. Only He can satisfy the deepest needs of the heart." Brothers and sisters, we celebrate all the saints today, especially those who will never be canonized. And maybe that's what God is calling you, to be an uncanonized saint, but a saint nonetheless in heaven. As we experience Him in Holy Mass, and if we can, to receive Him in Holy Communion, let us ask Him, "Lord, You say that You love me. I want to know that deeper, so that I can try to return that love to You in the best way I can. Jesus, help me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.